Welcome to A Journey of Transformation Empowerment. You're listening to Antonio T. Smith, Jr., where ideas ignite, change, and possibilities are endless. Before we dive into today's episode, we have something special for our listeners. Today's podcast is brought to you by a groundbreaking book that's reshaping the conversation around Black economic empowerment. It's Resegregation, Volume 1,
The Power Matrix,
a master plan for Black group economics with wealth creation, authored by visionary Antonio T. Smith, Jr. Antonio isn't just an author. He's a former top-secret combat special operations intelligence sergeant turned millionaire. His life work championed the economic autonomy and wealth creation within Black communities. In this seminal work, dedicated to teachings of Dr. Claude Anderson, Antonio outlines a comprehensive blueprint covering critical sectors like finance, technology, manufacturing, and more. He blends military discipline with acute understanding of systematic disparity. This isn't just a book. It's a movement, a call to action to create lasting wealth and reshaping the economic narrative. Antonio's vision is clear: drive a significant shift toward Black ownership and control. Listeners, if you've ever wondered about innovative strategies for wealth creation or how technological transformation can uplift the Black communities, then this book is for you. Join Antonio Smith, Jr. on the transformative journey. Pick up your copy of the Resegregation Volume 1, The Power Matrix, today, and be a part of the reshaping future. Now, let's dive into the episode and explore the possibilities that await us.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Lecture 19, John 2:1-12, The Gospel is Grace.
We're definitely excited about what's happening. We've been doing pretty good, so I'll catch you up with a good intro. And I'm excited about this lesson. Now, I'm always excited to teach and preach God's word. Well, maybe not always. Sometimes life gets in the way and you're unprepared, or you know you can walk inside the church and not feel so churchy one day. Amen, amen. Yeah. Every day we come in the Lord's house is a good day, but every day we come in the Lord's house, we're not having a good day. Amen. Amen, amen. So most of the time I'm excited to preach God's word. Sometimes I have to preach through pain, in order to get, and those are the best messages that ever come out. Amen. Those are best messages. But I'm excited today because I was so excited last week when I was doing it that I was trying to get here, but the Spirit kind of slowed us down. But this is like one of the greatest lessons I've ever taught. I've taught it before, but a tad bit differently. Now it's sitting inside the middle of this series. And so we've been discussing what is the gospel and what if, what would be the message of the New Testament if it only consisted of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? So, and there's so many different things that we've been talking about. We've did 5 in Matthew, 5 in Mark, 5 in Luke. We've done now 1 in John, and now we're doing part 2. We're still in the prologue, so John chapter 1. We're still in the prologue, and I want to highlight something in this prologue. Last week, I taught Jesus is the gospel. Now, this week, I want to preach or teach grace is the gospel, okay? And so we know Jesus is the word, but we also know God is love, and therefore we also know that you can say God is grace or God gives grace. Either way, today we're going to highlight what the gospel is. It's grace is the gospel. So let's point it out here in a few seconds. Start with me in John chapter 1, verse 19. I'm going to read from the English Standard Version, and then I'm going to flip the John chapter 2 almost immediately and explain to you why something's in the Bible that doesn't seem to make sense, but it makes plenty of sense. Excuse me. Chapter 1, verse 19 says, "And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Are you Elijah the prophet?' 'I am not.'" So here we have it where John is being asked, because he has so much great power, so much great following. He's baptizing people, and people are already repenting and turning around. And because this is what he's doing in his baptism, he says, you know, "You brood of vipers." He's doing all these things. And so John is denying that he is the Christ. But before we get to the denial of he is not the Christ, let's back up a little bit to verse 14, and we're going to explain to you what the Christ is, and so, or what is also one of the Christ's attributes. Verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." So now we have this Word that which we explained last week, this Logos, is this great central, the highest philosophy there ever was, is now becoming or now living in the human experience. And this is what's so powerful about the gospel. The gospel is God becoming human so human can benefit from God. This is amazing. It's important to understand that everything that you've gone through or you will go through, God went through it himself so you can benefit in the worst situation that you've ever been in. Lord have mercy, right? Amen. And so let's continue to read. "And we have seen his glory, glory as only the Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Now we get into the picture. Now we get into it because now see, John is writing this gospel a generation or two, depending on who you are, after Jesus has walked the earth, died on the earth, and then been risen from the earth, and now is in his earthly body, sitting at the right hand of the Father, still with holes in his hands and in his feet. So I need for you to hermeneutically place yourself inside this context. That means get out of the 21st century, and I need you to go back into first century AD. And understand that when John says we have seen the glory, he's not saying about what I'm about to tell you. You've already heard and you've already seen this glory. And now I'm about to explain to you fully of what this glory is that you have seen and a lot of you have missed. And this is what John is saying. John says, "So the Word became flesh and he dwelt among us and we've seen his glory." And watch how he describes what this glory is. "The glory of the Son of the Father." I lost my spot. And so in the glory, we have seen his glory, the glory of the Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. And that's what I want to talk about today, right? But I'm not done. I'm not at the shouting cue just yet, right? So John says this gospel, this truth, this logos, this greatest philosophy that's ever existed, this greatest thing that ever has been, is not only the Son, not only the Word, not only has it been made flesh, not only is flesh, but it is full of grace and truth and decided to live among us, right? So let's see if we can paint this picture a little bit more. So not only is he full of grace and truth, then it says, and John bore witness about him and cried out, this was he whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. So here's John saying again. John saying, because you have to understand it in this hierarchy world that the one that comes first is the one that gets the glory, the power, and the honor. Let's see if we can say it this way. The firstborn son would get more of the inheritance than that of the second, third, and subsequent sons. And so John is saying, you think I have power. Even though God sent me first, there's one coming behind me who is greater, but not because he's greater because he's coming behind me, but he's coming behind me, but he was born before me. Lord have mercy, right? See, even though I'm older than him in the flesh, he has been older than me since the beginning of time. And so now John is saying, all of this gospel I'm getting ready to teach you already was the gospel before you ever knew it existed. This is powerful because here's what John is explaining, and I still haven't got to what I really want to get to, but here's what John is explaining. John is explaining this: God loves you so much that according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, specifically right here, according to John, God already delivered your salvation before you ever recognized salvation was what you needed. Because in order for Jesus Christ to be what the gospel is, in order for Jesus Christ to be the Logos that was with God, and was also God, in order for Jesus Christ to be this full of grace and truth to come after John, but always existed before John, that means God the Father already set your salvation in motion before you ever confess Jesus Christ. That's powerful. Let me see if I can take that out of church talk and put it into your talk. Before you ever repent and get forgiveness, God has already extended it to you. Lord have mercy. Okay. I'm not saying that everybody's getting in. What I am saying is clearly you have an opportunity to get in even when you're too foolish to realize you want to get in. Your situation, your credit card bill, your anger, your alcoholism, your whatever ism you face has already been cut off at the head by Jesus Christ before you ever knew you struggled with it. So if you have any generational curses, if you're more prone to anger or prone to alcoholism or whatever that is because it came to you genetically, that's okay. Because before you ever had your genetics, Jesus Christ already was. Lord have mercy. Amen. And so the gospel has already been extended for us, to us, by him, because he was the one who was in the beginning, was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And then John restates it again in his prologue, that even though I came before him, he was already before me. Now, here is the shouting part, and I'm going to make something make sense in chapter 2. And so, he comes before me, verse 16, from his fullness, from Jesus Christ. He's not identifying him yet, but from this logos, from this word's fullness, from his fullness, we have all received, watch it, grace upon grace. Now watch this here, because this is where we're getting ready to shout, but you don't know it yet. We have, verse 16, from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. Watch it, verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Here's what John is doing. John is saying, listen, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And this Word not only loved you so much, and God not only loved you so much, but this Word is going to have the human experience so you can one day have the God experience in the age to come. Don't miss what I just said. This Word is going to take on your imperfection so you can die and become perfect with God. Let's see if I can say it another way. This perfect thing put on exactly what's wrong with you so you could become right with God. Let's see if I can say it in Eastern Orthodox way or theosis. God became man so man can become God, but not God as in theos, but little gods, right? Little G, perfection. And so basically, here's what John is saying. This man came before us, but he was never a man. He became a man, but he was always God. And in his fullness, we receive grace and truth. And then watch verse 16. Let me see if I can read it again for you. And we receive grace upon grace. Here's what that means. That you already had grace. And then he gave you grace on top of the grace you already had. Is that still in your Bible? Right. Grace upon grace. And then he explains what he means by that. In verse 17, he says, for the law, that's grace, was given by Moses. Okay, so we're one person who was the prophet, who spoke words directly from God, who saw God, and who God had a face-to-face relationship, even if Moses had to turn his face with. He gave the people grace. Okay, watch this here. Moses led the people out of slavery. Moses was the first leader of God's people. Where Jesus Christ now is the leader of God's people, he also has a face-to-face relationship with God because he is God. But not just that, where Moses led them out of slavery of Egypt, Jesus led us out of slavery from sin. Somebody should see where I'm going here, right? So where Moses gave us grace, how to get out of physical bondage, how to be okay with God with a sacrifice that you have to do, Jesus gave us grace on top of that by giving us his sacrifice that we didn't even have to do. Somebody missed that whole thing right there. And so John is saying we have grace on top of grace of the grace that was already extended. Now, this is powerful. And now, this is what I said. What we're talking about today is grace is the gospel. If you only ever had John chapter 1, if you've never had anything else, if you've never read the Bible, if you've never had anything past the New Testament, past John, if you never had anything before John, if you didn't even have John chapter 2, you know for sure that the gospel is Jesus Christ is the Word. He was always the Word. He was always God. And he came down here to live like us as peasants in order for us to live like him as kings. Somebody missed what I just said. And then, if you miss anything else, if you never have anything else, you understand that God was so gracious. He already gave us something, but then he gives us something on top of something, and we didn't even deserve it. That's exactly what's going on in this prologue. I haven't even got to verse 18 yet, but you have enough understanding about the gospel in John to understand that Jesus Christ was God up front by himself. This is why Billy Graham, of course, all of us remember Billy, well, if you're in your 30s or above, you remember Billy Graham, right? Amen. I don't know about people younger than that. But however, so Billy Graham would hand out the Gospel of John and his Psalms, right? Because Psalms is personal prayers, right? But when people have to ask, well, where do I start? Billy Graham would hand them the Gospel of John. Why? Because the Gospel of John is shallow enough for you to walk in, but deep enough for you to drown in. Lord, have mercy. It's something about the Gospel of John in which the easiest person or a non-believer can understand, but then it's so deep that you don't understand and you need it to be explained to you. I said that on purpose, so let's go to John chapter 2. So here's, when we go to John chapter, I'm going to make something make sense to you that you just fit to laugh at it, right? And so, but here's the deal. In John chapter 1, let me recap one more time because I need you to catch it. Jesus Christ was God, is God, has always been God, was always before John, was always him, and became us so we could become with him in the presence of God. Does that make sense? And God, before Jesus came on earth, already gave us grace in two different ways. He gave us grace by giving it to us before time ever existed. The mere fact that God, and before sin ever existed, there was grace. Let me prove this point. Oof, I like that I just said that. Before sin ever existed, grace already existed. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And then John says, yes, I'm here, but there's one coming after me who was born before me. And therefore, in Genesis chapter 1, the world was perfect. In Genesis chapter 2, the world was perfect. And a portion of Genesis chapter 3, the world was perfect. But I'm telling you, according to the Gospel of John, in the perfect world, grace already existed. Lord have mercy. And here's how grace existed. Because God didn't need to create man, but he did. And the mere fact that he gave him life, Lamb and descendants is grace all in itself.
Amen.
Whew, Lord have mercy, right? And so before there was ever sin, God was already extending us grace. That's powerful because God doesn't use grace to fix sin. Grace was already there and it happens to fix sin. Lord have mercy. Okay, right? So check this out. You hear all that, and so he gives us grace one way by it already existed, and then he gives us grace another way, because when we sin, he uses grace to fix it. Amen. And that grace is the law. So this is grace upon grace. Now watch this here. John chapter 2. Have you ever wondered why Jesus is making water into wine? Has it ever just struck you odd? When we get ready to end in the next 7 minutes, has that struck you odd? I mean, let's think about this for a second. We're talking about in the beginning was the Word, and John is doing a wonderful job orchestrating a great argument, a theological treatise in which Jesus Christ is this awesome God that becomes man and he's one with the Father. And Jesus Christ turns around one chapter later at a party and makes water into wine. There's something wrong with this story. If we was writing a movie, the director would say, hold on, something needs to go in between there. There's something missing. You don't talk about how good God is and then talk about how drunk he can get you. Amen, right? So there's something missing. Have you ever wondered, like, why is this here? And then John goes out his way to let you know this was the first sign that Jesus Christ ever did. See, the Holy Spirit is so discerning that it doesn't want you to skip over stuff that's inside the Bible. Amen. And so John chapter 2 comes immediately after John chapter 1 because John is taking 1 and 2 and showing you how they go together. And what I said in 1, I'm about to prove to you in chapter 2. Here's what happens. Jesus, let me give you the backdrop real quick. Jesus Christ is minding his own business. And he tells his mother, listen, woman, it ain't even my time to do what you're trying to make me do. Okay, now right there, we got theological implications. And Jesus Christ recognized he has power. His mother recognizes he has power. And the people need the party saved, put that in air quotes. Jesus has the power to save it. And Jesus says, it's not my time to show what I can do. And doesn't that seem to be a theme that's always repeated throughout the Gospels? He heals somebody, he says, shh, don't tell anybody, it's not my time yet. And every time they try to force him to be the Messiah or the king, he flees from them or walks through them because he says, it's not my time yet. And so check this out. So now that Jesus Christ is saying, listen, it's not my time yet, let's break this down. Let's start at verse 6, John chapter 2, verse 6. This is for the blow your mind. Now there were 6 stone water jars that were for Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. And they were filled, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, now draw some out and take to the master of the feast. Now watch it. So they took it. Now, here's where you need to understand what John is trying to get to. Verse 8. And when he said to them, now the master saw some, take it to the master to eat. Verse 9, excuse me. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, watch it, and did not know where it came from, though the servants had drawn the water new. Watch what the master says. The master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, everyone serves the good wine first. And when people have drunk freely, the poor wine comes next. But you have kept the good wine until now. And watch what John says. This, the first sign of Jesus did in Canaan in Galilee. Oh, let's open this up and we're going to shout and we're going to end right here. I need you to understand that John just said a whole lot and didn't even bother to explain it. First off, you need to understand that a wedding lasted a mighty fine long time. Our weddings, you know, we don't like to stand up all day. Please have the weddings 45 minutes. Pass it on, be too long. Hopefully I ain't got too many solos and praise dances that don't belong in a wedding. You understand what I'm talking about? Amen. Amen. I wish I had somebody. Amen. Right? All this stuff, can we just have it? And then let's go eat and party. Let's let that be 4 or 5 hours and clean up. Please put your chairs up and all that stuff so we can get out of here, get our deposit back. Does that sound like a wedding in the 21st century? Amen. The weddings then lasted 3-4 days. Lord have mercy. And they drank merrily. And so the master has no idea that Jesus is on the scene. Lord have mercy. He has no idea that the king has come and the king has power that impresses him. And so John says, the master, the bridegroom, the person over this feast drinks this wine and has a revelation. And let me just pause right there. Let me let you know that Christianity is a revealed religion. That means, now there's some natural stuff about it. You can get it in natural. You can look at stars and understand that there has to be a God because this is just too pretty. But what you can't do is look at stars and know Jesus died on the cross. Amen. At some point, Jesus has to reveal that to you, that he died for your sins. You can't get that by looking at a tree. Amen. You need to get that by getting in the book. And so the master says, now, normally, all the good wine come first. And while I'm too drunk to tell how bad this wine is, you bring in this sloppy wine next, and we can't tell the difference. But you, Lord have mercy. Did you see the way John turned it? Just like a good preacher, he says, but you brought the good wine last. I thought we had good wine, and it was good. But the wine I got now is even better. And John says, putting these two together, remember I told you about that grace on top of grace and how it came through the fullness of the word? Well, the word is so powerful that even in your wine, what you thought was good, when Jesus put his hands on it, it gets better. And that is the gospel. Where Moses brought the law in, and where Moses gave us the word, Jesus gives us the intent of the word. Where Moses spoke it and did well, Jesus speaks it better. Where Moses delivered us from a physical slavery, Jesus releases us from spiritual slavery. Where the nation of Israel messed up is where Jesus succeeded. Everything Jesus touched was better than what the Lord had put out in the first place, because he's not abolishing it. He's just making grace get on top of grace. Amen? And that is the gospel. To recognize, or at least well, this is a big part of it. This is why I love John so much. To recognize that Jesus Christ is so powerful, so awesome, that God already had grace here. But then he decided to give you more than what you deserve on top of what you did not deserve, just so you can benefit from what he deserves. Let me pray for you. Lord, thank you. We appreciate you. We bless you for a good revelation of your word. Let us enjoy our grace upon grace. Because in the words of Pastor Temple, the devil wants us to just mumber and complain. And we can't have both grace on top of grace and complaining on top of complaining. One of them has to lose. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
When the pandemic began, I had the biggest problem in the world. Not making money. The pandemic was actually quite a blessing for me, as it almost made me a billionaire. I came really close. So the pandemic was a blessing. It was hiring people. And get this, everybody. I had 48 job positions open during the pandemic. $22 an hour with paid training, and I could not find a single person for 2 years to fit any of those 48 job positions. Hear me well. 48 job positions. $22 an hour. Paid training. And I couldn't find someone, not one person, for those job positions. Now, is it because I hire slowly? True. But it's because I wasn't using ZipRecruiter. And that's a fact. I wasn't getting to the right people for the right position to fit my right culture. And there are so many different things that you can do this summer. As a matter of fact, you can free up as much time as you want to. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're probably not going to free up that time if you're attempting to hire people. So what is ZipRecruiter? What is probably the greatest job finder that's out there? And that's why you need ZipRecruiter. You need it so you can find the right candidates. Now, it's not that ZipRecruiter helps you find jobs. It's more accurately that ZipRecruiter takes your culture, takes your job, takes what you're looking for, and immediately matches them with the perfect candidate. And if they can't find a perfect candidate, they will skip over that person and then give you the perfect candidate for you. ZipRecruiter uses one of its most powerful tools, which is the technology itself, to match the right candidates up with your job. You can easily review their recommendations and easily review their recommended candidates and invite these candidates to apply for your top positions. Additionally, ZipRecruiter has a complete suite of tools that makes it easy for you to filter out, review, and rate candidates. 4 out of 5 employees have been used by 4 out of 5 employers on ZipRecruiter. It is a blessing. And no wonder ZipRecruiter is rated #1 hiring site in the world based on G2 satisfaction ratings as of this year, January 1st. My friends, soak up everything I said. It's not an ad. This is a personal testimony of how I found the right people to sit in the right seat on the right bus. Without ZipRecruiter, it wouldn't have been possible. So how do you take advantage of what I'm talking about? Well, you go to ZipRecruiter.com/B2B, all spelled the regular way. That's Zip, Z-I-P, Recruiter, R-E-C-R-U-I-T-E-R, ZipRecruiter.com/B2B. And I promise you, you will be grateful that you did so. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/B2B. It's also in the show notes.